funny how it gets cold out and you get up early and you want to sleep some more because it's warm in your bed. That's all right. It's good to have you here today. You know, one of the dynamics that I saw early in church life, and it was a bit foreign to me, was, you know, we had Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches. My mom went to Stager Pentecostal Church with Pastor Kenneth Cook. Nice guy. Went to be with the Lord some years ago. In fact, talked to him one day and called him back a while, some months later, and when I talked to him, he didn't even tell me he was sick. Turns out he had colon cancer, and he passed away, and it was just a heartbreak. But you know, it's interesting, because I started seeing, as time went on, I mean, the church was a church, brothers and sisters in Christ, it was a new family, I was active, you know, and I started talking to this one sister one day, and she was talking about something. I don't know if it was a rapture or something. And I just, you know, I said, I don't know if I questioned the timing of the rapture. And she got really kind of unhinged with me. And it surprised me a little bit because at this point, I was young. I didn't know whether people were supposed to fight about when Jesus was coming back. And then I made the famous statement. I said, I'm a pantheorist. It'll pan out in the end. And that did not help at all. You know, apparently to her, that was very important. Part of her faith was stapled in when Jesus was coming back. And another time, I was expressing a view. And again, right back in the same things. And I had somebody get off the couch and said, you don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And I don't know if I can sit by you on the couch. And again, it was kind of new news to me because I just wasn't, you know, I'm trying to call me ignorant sitting there going, what do you, you know, I'm not even knowing really how to reply. I mean, except said, hey, you're my sister. There should be no problem here. And you know, those adrenal glands were opened up. But it's interesting. This first sister I encountered, apparently, you know, she had went to my mom's church and things were good. Her family was there. Her son-in-law was there. Her future son-in-law was there, a daughter, the kids. And there was some guy running around calling himself a prophet. In fact, I even think he called himself Elijah, and he wasn't insinuating he was the Elijah. And he was a super spiritual guy that had this elevated message. And I remember the sister. In fact, this sister, at one point, I mean, I just saw God use her prophetically. Her spirit was really good. But it was interesting because when I had that encounter with her, it was some time later, and there was just something really, like, you know, real a bit divisive. And at the point, you kind of go, boy, that was weird. I never saw that sign. But it turned out that she had run into this guy, and he was kind of all over the place, and the church was wrong, and he was right. And she really kind of picked up his spirit, is what occurred. Because she began to do things that were out of character for her, completely out of character for her. She began to speak in ways, and later on I found out she spoke in a lot of the same language he was speaking in. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm sure when, I don't know where she met this guy, but I'm sure somewhere she met him and started talking to him, and she was listening to whatever propositions theologically he was making. But the part where she picked up his spirit, I don't think she even knew what hit her. So eventually, she went from 15 years, stable, worshiping, you know what I mean, local body. And she's this divisive woman that's pulling people out of various churches. She became something other than what she was. Some people go, oh, she was always like that. But the truth is, no. Her history, you could see it. She was a different person. She had come into contact with somebody. And I don't know that she realized you come in contact with a person, not just their words, but the authority behind their words, and you start getting spoken into, and it begins to fundamentally alter you. Now, I know people, many times I've said that, and they've laughed, and people said, well, no, I know my own mind, and I, as a pastor, one of the things that I've seen so many times is that we don't, number one, we don't speak into each other, and we need to help each other, and we need to check our spirit and make sure it's right. Or if it is done, it's some horrible divisiveness or aberrant spirit, and you know what I'm saying, and it goes into that because it's something that's really critical. I want you to go to 26:22, and we're going to read, actually, And it's going to be actually kind of a verse to, and I'll read it. You mark it down. It just says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Now, a lot of pastors, teachers use this for gossip, which it can be, absolutely. But I really believe that as we speak, we share ourselves with people. Unless we're talking, you know, football or something non-spiritual. But when it comes to philosophy, ideology, when it comes to spiritual talk, when we speak, we share ourselves. We really do. And people not only pick up your words. One of the giftings God's given, I believe it's the human race. And it's used for good and it's used for horribly evil. Because we affect each other. There's no doubt about it. Have you ever had somebody talking to you and you went from feeling this way to suddenly feeling a different way? Have you ever, I've watched people fire people up that were completely at peace and they're talking and I don't mean they irritated, the way they're walking, all of a sudden that person is walking and talking like them. And I think in this era, there is a lot of words going out. In fact, have we ever had a time where more communication is going on? Where more people are making statements, sharing their heart, speaking into each other. We have complaints, we have prejudice, we have all kinds of scenarios. It's like a buffet table of different spirit. So many different people are in so many different states of spirit. And it brings me to something that happened to me recently. I was having lunch with a pastor. And he told me a story, and he's been in the Assemblies of God probably for 37 years, I think he said almost 40. And he said, you know, I had a guy, and this is an interesting thing when he told me, and actually this is when God began to churn my spirit with this message. And he said, I had a guy that I was working on, he was on our leader team, and I was going to ordain the guy. And great guy, family, been with the church for years. And he said, and, you know, it's all good. We're going along, and I'm just about to ordain the guy. And he starts getting contentious. He starts, you know what I'm saying, arguing. Now, he being an Assemblies of God church, was a charismatic church. He made no apologies. I understand that. Their position is the gifts of the Spirit are for today. Suddenly, the guy began to argue a lot and have kind of arguments that he had never seen, even arguments that were different than the way even this guy functioned in the gifts of the Spirit. The guy became real critical all of a sudden. What he didn't know, and he was explaining this to me, and when I'm hearing the story, I'm trying to figure out too. I know he's going to tell me the story of what happened. And he says, what I found out is there's this Calvinist on some radio show, has a YouTube channel, and he's tuning him in. And I said, so the guy is, you know, he's born, bred, and raised a charismatic. He believes God's gifts are for today. He gets starting to be spoken into by somebody that's a cessationist, a five-point Calvinist, and someone, I might add, that was very cynical to charismatics. Not just disagreed with the theological stances, but was real rabid, very venomous towards charismatics. And so finally he figures out this thing, because the guy tells him, well, teacher so-and-so, and he's like, who is this guy I'm competing with? Because, again, this is really critical to this Assemblies of God church. But after a bit, he realizes he has been engrossing himself with a teacher that dislikes charismatics. And even though the guy has been born, bred, and raised a charismatic, he picks up a prejudice. He starts speaking critically. Even goes as far as to speak critically of the pastor. And it's interesting because we live in a different era. In years past, you either had to pick up a phone or you had to go meet somebody to talk to them. But in the era we are, and when he told me the story, I really went, wow. I said, I guess your authority was usurped by media. He said, yeah. I said, but, and I told him too, it's like, did you realize he picked up that guy's spirit? I mean, it wasn't just about arguing information. That guy was cynical. After a while, he was cynical. That guy mocked this, and after a while, he actually mocked the exact same way. Because it goes right back to the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go into the innermost part of your being. There is a positive to this. There can be a negative. Because let's look at the other end. What if said guy was looking at John Wimber? Say he was looking from Vineyard. What if this guy was looking up on YouTube Daniel Kalinda or Reinhard Bonnke? There's a host of things he could have heard. And you know, it's interesting because sometimes there are general sermons you can use. I don't care what your church is, God's word and their level and their good. But I marveled that a man that he had known for his life suddenly became a different man, and then he actually left the church. It didn't end there, but naturally, with these positions, especially if you're dogmatic, it's going to cause a split. The guy couldn't even tolerate his teaching anymore. And I thought, what an amazing thing. We start to realize that we speak, and I really believe the authority you're under, when you speak, it shows. I believe the state of spirit that you live in, I believe it shows. I believe you can stir somebody up. I believe you can bless somebody by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe our mouth is a powerful tool, and I believe that you're picking up people's spirits many times and you don't even know it. Many times we're simply, this man, I'm sure, went into this thing, watched his Calvinist and thought, well, I'm not a Calvinist, and I've seen God move in the current, so it's really hard to ascertain this kind of information he's giving because some of my living testimony argues with it. But I don't think what he was thinking when he took it in is that he was... He was picking up his spirit, absolutely. And that spirit was going to affect him and how he lived and how he thought. He thought he was just debating theological positions, but that's never how that works. You're picking up somebody's spirit when you start listening, you start submitting. You're picking up their spirit. You're picking up where they're at. You're picking up the way they see things. You're even picking up emotional attributes. I've seen it too many times. Now, we know that there can be demonic influence. There can also be Holy Spirit influence. So this is a beautiful thing. But when I heard this story, I admit I'm an old timer. So when I heard the story, it was a different way because I've seen the same thing work with people coming in to different churches. I've been on meetings where people sought out my counsel because they were having a split or a division. And it always starts just somewhere. And it was interesting. But how about even if it's not a split or a division like this happened, that he picked up his spirit, and before you know it, he talked like him, he walked like him, he argued like him, he shared the very emotional qualities and characteristics, and then when the pastor goes to the channel, he looks at him and went, oh my gosh, it's like sitting with my guy. Wow. And it kind of stunned them, you know? And then a lot of people go, oh, they got brainwashed. And I don't really buy into the whole brainwash. Many times, like I said, we pick up people's spirits. They're talking. And we need to weigh that and say, you know, that spirit didn't seem right about that girl or that guy. You know, I just picked up something that just hit me funny. And sometimes we even check. You know, it was interesting. Many times through the years, I've seen stories of divorce. Obviously, you wish it didn't happen. It does. I know Christians that God has moved them forward. I mean, it doesn't have to be a death sentence. But I remember even in the world, suddenly a stable mate, whether it be the guy or the girl, all of a sudden they started hanging with friends that were not only single, but kind of despised marriage. And before you knew it, that person didn't want to be married, thought commitment was stupid. I've actually watched this time and time again. In fact, I had somebody very close to me that this new friend came along and led this poor person into the worst sin possible, to where they started acting like them. They were once stable. They were once actually, they weren't unhappy. A lot of people go, well, she was unhappy. And then I met the friend and I was like, oh my gosh, it stunned me. Spirit was wrong. Spirit was off. But instead of red lights going off, you know, she got affected. And that affecting, it not only affected her, but it changed her life, and it changed her marriage, and it changed everything. And it's funny, because once this person came up by their side, completely fragged them, completely blew it all up, they weren't friends some years later anymore. But the damage had been done, and the friends and the influence and the spirit they picked up, it all got picked up. Now, there's no particular angle to what I'm saying, except that we need to understand our own spirit when we deal with people. We also need to understand what influences us, because we are made this way. Now, I understand there are some people that are very stubborn, and they'll hold in a way, and you can't move them left or right, but I've seen more people affected by the inner workings and relationships and affected by, and they didn't even know what hit them. And then what happens, too, and this is another thing, what happens if, God forbid, somebody comes at you and they're not, it's not just their state of spirit, they got a demonic issue going on. I've told the old story of Pat Page and Jerry Feinberg, and they committed multiple murders, and Pat and Jerry Feinberg was an honor roll student every year. He was a science geek, and for some reason, this guy Page was a doper and violent, and somehow in high school he met him, and they kind of struck this thing. Now, the guy was also a criminal, a thief. He had been in Audi homes, juvie homes. And Pat was this very low-key guy, and by the time it's all done, both were on death row and had been executed. They diced the guy up and buried him in multiple graves. And people went, that's so wild. And you know, a lot of parents go, oh, you watch where your kid, who he hangs out with, because that was so glaring of one person's spirit affecting another person's spirit. Do you feel equipped when you deal with people? Are you open to say, hey, you know, something seems off? It looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, but something, you know, do you realize that? Because sometimes people talk to you, and God will give you an insight, and you'll know exactly what would happen if you really came up under what they're saying, and it would affect you. Now, I want to go to Proverbs 18, and we'll read a little bit through it, but this is something that we're going to see, that I've always seen, but I think with the massive communication, we're going to get a lot of that. I want you to think about something. Have you ever had God's perspective on something, and you're walking in it, and somebody comes up to you that knows the Lord, and then they start speaking about something, and you go, doesn't feel peaceful. I just don't got a peace about this, and it seems like that it's pushing me this way. And we need to know that, because again, it's interesting though. This original story I told you, but the sad thing is, this pastor was stock standard, meaning he's a good guy, real integral. Sure, you can disagree with his theology. Sure, you can go to any church you want. But what was interesting with this gal, she got caught up with a guy that was under no authority. She got caught up with a guy that hated the localized church, hated organized religion, thought it was all a waste. And it's interesting because in the end, she ended up belonging to no church, and it didn't end there. That the wonderful little church I told you about, me and my wife were married actually at this church. They emptied them out. They had 210. They were down to 13 when that woman was said and done, because not only did she have this new spirit about her, but she had to share with others how they needed to think like her, and it was crazy. And it's sad because this pastor was a really, really a good man in the faith. By the time he passed, that church was a shell of what it once was, all because a person began to deal with a person and couldn't read that spirit. Now, this just does not apply to church membership. It can apply to any, you know, your marriage, your friendships. It can apply to everything. But it goes on 18:1, and I'm going to read. There's like about seven verses, and it starts out and says, "He who separates seeks his own desire. See, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." This is a state of being to where we need to be teachable from others, teachable from the Lord, teachable from our friends. And it describes a person. And I think about this, even this story I told you of the pastor, but when a person, how many times have you known a family member where, you know, no matter what you try to say, you just can't talk? You can talk to them, they don't listen. No matter what you say, they will argue every point you're bringing up. And you would love to say that we just don't agree, but I have actually in my life seen it to where people get so bad, they can't hear anything from anyone. But it's interesting. It says the next verse, because states this kind of separation thing. And then it says, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind.
I'm sorry.
Proverbs 18, 1 through 8. Sorry about that. Did you ever have this experience to where you're trying to explain something? You know, in fact, it's interesting because even when we're ready, you know, even when you have small kids, you're trying to show them something. I'm talking little. And sometimes they'll say, no, mommy, no, daddy, it's this way. And you're kind of breaking that down because at that raw age, they're like a little on the play. So you're trying to get them to be teachable, to be open. You're trying to get them to be able to be taught. But it speaks of a guy that is isolated, and then it secondly really describes the guy, because when a person separates himself, he seeks his own desire. When a person doesn't want to hear nothing, what they want, they've got an agenda, they've got a thought, they got to get it done. Have you ever talked and asked yourself a question? Have you ever talked to someone that doesn't want to understand nothing? They just want to tell you what they think. That's all they want to do. That's why it says the fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. It says, when a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes reproach. Now this is interesting, because I kind of wrote in translations, it says, the man who separates himself, it says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. And this is kind of what I was getting into. We speak into each other, we hear each other speak. Can you discern the spirit a person is walking in? Have you ever talked to a bitter person and they're bitter? And if you listen to them long enough, it's funny, you start picking up stuff. Have you ever talked to a person that walks in unforgiveness and they can't let go? And it's interesting because you can start talking to them, and before you know it, you can pick up bitterness, you can start losing your ability to forgive and to forget and to move forward. And the more you're talked into, the more it seems to affect you. We're all deep waters. I'm going to tell you something right now. People don't realize that, you know, the words of the man's mouth are deep waters, meaning what comes out of here is what's in my spirit, seriously. And if you listen long enough, you'll pick up who I am, you'll pick up what I'm about. If you listen to what I'm saying, that deep water comes out. Remember Jesus talked about, and it's interesting, it says the next statement, now people confuse this because I had a guy say, you know, the words of my mouth are deep waters and they're a fountain of wisdom like a bubbling brook. I said, that's actually not how that reads, it's two separate issues. The words of a man's mouth are deep water. Do you realize that when Jesus said, out of the mouth flows the abundance of the heart, he's actually referring to this proverb right here. Without this, in fact, that Jesus is talking about out of the heart, mouth flows the abundance of the heart. Most rabbis would have agreed he's coming right here, realizing that that which comes out of the mouth is that which fills the heart. The heart is deep. But remember what he said too, when people would come to believe in him, that there would be a fountain, a spring of light flowing up out of them. It says, the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. And then it goes on. It says, to show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. And the reason I'm giving this to you, because the last verse is, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. And they go down into the innermost parts of the body. This is also important, which goes to right back to the thing. Now, back in the 80s, and I remember this even before I was married and I was doing the nighttime Bible school, and it was real common back then to kind of say, you know, check your spirit. And you would be sharing with somebody about, the Lord told me to do this, or the Lord told me to do that, or, you know, there's the scripture, and I'm going to correct them. And you would look at the person and say, your spirit's all stirred up. You're angry, you're a little judgmental, and I believe what you're saying is true, but your spirit's so off that doing the right thing with the wrong spirit is going to really null and void the good you think you're going to do. Again, getting a hold, understanding. And it says, right at the end, the words of a whisperer are like a dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Now, this scripture describes a specific kind of morsel. This person cannot be taught. They can't. They like to only talk about what they think. They're not one that can be taught, because if you're going to be a teacher, you have to be teachable. You have to. There's not a good teacher that can't be taught, because if you can't be taught, you're not going to have much to teach except spouting a lot of self ideas. But the amazing thing about this guy obviously is kind of his own guy. He doesn't listen much. But this is the important thing. Like I said, how many times have you had that where you're going, you know, you're going to say, I'm going to go approach this situation or this subject, and your spirit's it's aggravated. You're unhappy. You're angry. Maybe you're even a little arrogant. And instead of saying, you know what, this spring's going to come up. And the problem is, the words I say alone aren't going to be all that is remembered. Also is going to be remembered is my attitude when I said it. The spirit I'm walking in, whether it's humility and meekness. If I have to rebuke somebody, am I going to speak in love? Because I actually think we need to speak into each other. I know that. I know we need to get a hold of each other. I know that there are times where you guys have spoken into me and blessed my spirit, and you just said something that made my day. Your spirit was good. And I mean, I've been the beneficiary of this in a positive way, in more times than in a negative way. But it's interesting because we are all a deep well, and many times we're going to have to deal with stuff. But let's be honest. If I get in my heart and I'm like, oh, that guy's an idiot, or that person, how stupid are they? You know, you understand what's going to start happening. I'm going to try to be maybe even communicating a biblical truth, but my attitude is going to be so bad, I'm going to have a hard time speaking. You know, I had a friend once that didn't talk much at all. So I guess we worked out good because I talked enough for both of us. But I remember something that always impressed me. He'd wait on stuff, and he'd see where his spirit was at. And I was like, hey, it's there, you know the truth, go do it. And he was like, you know, my heart's, I'm stirred up, it's just not a time I can do that. Well, I'm thinking, you know, you need to get that done. He's thinking, you know, I do. Which even counts more for the attitude I'm carrying, the spirit I'm walking in. You know, because if I go, he told me, if I go right now as this, it's going to come out that way. And I'm going to tell you, the guy's not just going to pick up something that he needs to hear, but he's going to pick up my bad attitude. So there's going to be a mix of truth, pride, religious spirit, anger, and he said it's going to get very confusing. Now my brother, my middle brother, Ron, was very good at this. And many times he was one of these guys that he could tell you you were ugly, sinning, probably going to burn in hell, and a false Christian, and you'd somehow pat him on the back and thank him for the truth. He had a humility, he spoke in. Now I'm talking private, one-on-one. He could preach some pretty hard stuff, but the reality is if you talk to him in person, I'm talking very much one-on-one, he approached me. In fact, there was two things he said that changed my life, and I'll be honest with you. I was a defensive kind of guy. I didn't like correction. I would take it, but it was hard, and I was younger and insecure. And there was two major bits that God told him to speak into me. Both of them were life changers, but both of them could have went up or down. But because he checked his spirit, by the time he brought it across to me, God's spirit was not only on it, you could feel it. And some of the stuff he said was not real flattering. But it was not only truth, the spirit with which he walked in was humble and meek. And that's an amazing thing, because there are times we need to communicate things, and there are times in your life somebody will wrong you. And you may even be on the upper hand of it, but the point is, you're walking in love, or you're walking in mercy. You know, you ever heard the old saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all, but I would even kind of reword it and say, hey, if your spirit ain't right, ask God to adjust it, and then by the time he adjusted, then you can come forth and say what you need to say in the right spirit, because the life of the hearer may actually be in the balance. You never know. But if you ask yourself this question, because, you know, it's interesting too, and I could bring up a really good example too, and let's be honest, in marriage our familiarity sometimes kicks our rear end, doesn't it? You get used to somebody, you're married to them, and you try to say stuff nice, but let's be honest, you have those weird little boil overs, and things happen, and you're about to tell them, you know, you're about to tell your mate, you know, not only the truth about themselves, but just how you feel about it. I think we need truthful conversations. In fact, I think marriage without communication, good and bad, is really destined to fail. But isn't it interesting how you can come out with so much self-righteousness that when you're talking to somebody, you know, it's not hitting the spot. And here's another part of this. Think about this. Do you care? See, this is the other point. I used to say, through the years, this is not a new saying, there's nothing more dangerous than a Christian that knows the truth. And the reason, somebody once said, could you please clarify that? Because truth is Christianity. And Christians, we need to speak the truth even when it's unpopular. And I totally agree. But it's interesting, I said to the person, let me explain it to you. I've seen Christians trudge forth with, they were saying truth, their spirit, their bitterness, it was all wrapped up, and by the time it came out of their mouth, they said the right thing in the wrong spirit, and they messed the situation up even worse. And they didn't want to hear about that. They didn't care whether there was anger in them, hate in them. They didn't care if they were just having a bad day, because it's truth. How can I mess that up? I want you to think about this. In fact, it's interesting because even the way the Lord speaks to us, even the way that God interacts and convicts you, if you think about the spirit of it, it's His spirit. It's perfect. Now, here's the other question, too. And again, I can't give you always examples, but, you know, I have, when I was a younger Christian, my ears, I think, sometimes were a trash receptacle because sometimes if somebody'd speak and it was life-giving. Sometimes somebody'd speak and it would stir me up in the wrong way. They were critical about something or someone, and I start listening, and their spirit wasn't right. And I'm starting to listen. All of a sudden, I'm finding myself get aggravated with someone whom I have no problem with. And isn't that weird, taking up the contentions of another? There's stuff in the scripture about that. And when you're young, you're just hearing it, and it's causing your insides to churn, and you're popping attitudes. But as I got older, sometimes people were saying, and I would just have to stop, say, man, I got to stop you right there, because this don't feel right. I understand part of what you're saying is true, but you do understand you're all worked up, and you do understand you're angry, and you do understand that you're not forgiven. Now, you can tell me these things in truth, and I would even go, I'm trying to figure out what the purpose of this information in my ears is doing. Because if I hear you long enough, I'm going to pop an attitude with a person that I've never had a problem with. And now I'm going to be carrying the contention, your contention. It's not my contention, but because we can affect each other, that can happen. And you're going to have me feel differently about them, not based on merit of my own interactions with them, based on the merit of yours. And again, just judging that spirit of the thing. Judging that spirit. And it's interesting, too, because let's be honest, we definitely bring forth where we're at. You get a person that walks in unforgiveness and they can't let it and they're angry, they want you to be offended. You get a person that walks in a spirit of offense, they want you to be offended with them. They're not even happy until you pick up the offense they're walking in. And it's a lot to lay on a person. Think about that for a minute. But again, if we're not knowing where our own spirit is coming from, if we're willing to take all things in, we can our ears can be to our ruin. Because can we be selective and say, you know, I'm hearing you on this, but yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to stop just because it starts putting stuff into you. Luke 9:51, it'll give you a second to get there. And I don't know if you remember, Jesus is traveling with his disciples. They had seen miracles. He had cursed a fig tree. Jesus really got a lot done. This is kind of an amazing thing. He is like one of the prophets of old because He does things that prophets did. I want you to think about this. It was who raised the dead? Elijah. Who parted the waters? Moses. So you got to understand, in the era that Jesus shows up on the scene, he's walking around and he's doing things that prophets had did to this point. And he's performing miracles and physical miracles, and it's reminding, even his followers are probably thinking of Elijah, Elisha. They're probably thinking of Moses. They're probably thinking of Ezekiel, of Daniel, who was delivered from the mouth of lions. And they're walking around. They're his disciples. So I want you to kind of get this in your mind. And obviously the Spirit reveals to Peter that this is the Messiah, which is not simply a prophet. And it says in chapter 9, verse 51, we're going to read through to 56. They're walking around. And it came about, 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, meaning his death and resurrection, that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. And they did not receive him because he was journeying with his face toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Now, some people would say, these guys are being mean. But actually, what they're naming, if you remember back, I believe it was Elijah, where they were trying to come take him by force, and fire came down and consumed the guards that came to get him. And what they're quoting is not necessarily like off the wall. Because this is the Mashiach. This is Yeshua. He is the anointed one. He is the king of Israel. So as they're watching this rejection of the Savior that they watched do miracles, as they watched him perform miracles that were impossible. As they watched all this stuff, it feels right. You know, God should rain fire down from heaven. Can we do this? If you permit us to, we know that with your beckoning, as we call it, it's going to come and consume them. But he turned and rebuked them, and he said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them." And they went on to another village. But again, it's interesting because they got worked up with the situation. They even felt that God was with them. And they were very right. God was with them in more ways than one. Because Jesus was with them, they felt commission and in his presence. And they just asked a simple thing, can we command fire? Because if you say to do it, if we command it, it's going to come from heaven. It's going to burn them, just like the captain of the guards back when this happened to Elijah. And they're going to do it, and God's going to do it just like he did. And people are going to know that you're with us. They're going to know that God is with you. There's a lot of connecting tissue here, but Jesus gives us a little slap, like, hey, you guys don't even know what spirit you're of. You're not even familiar with how you're walking emotionally right now. You're not even familiar with how you're feeling. You don't really understand that you're in a wrong spirit. These are missions of redemption. In fact, this mission is not only redemptive, but I'm going to be rejected. And I'm going to be killed. And I'm not going to command 12 legions of angels to come down and kill the Romans who are nailing me to the cross. And there's a right time for stuff and a wrong time for stuff. And there's a right spirit you walk in and a wrong spirit you walk in. You know, the prophets in the Old Testament, too, if you think about it, where they called fire down from heaven, where they had the prophets of Baal came together, remember? And Elijah, he had his sacrifice ready, and they made their sacrifices, and he said, the God who answers by fire, he is God. Remember? And the guys cut themselves and, you know, wailed into their false deities to come down. And Elijah says, you know, pour water on it. Pour more water on mine. Pour more water on mine. And then he calls out to the God of heaven, and God comes down and licks up the sacrifice. Doesn't just burn it, licks it up and pulls it up into the sky. And then they all said, the Lord, he is God. So there was a time where this worked, and there was a time. And it's funny because the prophets of old could really proclaim curses and stuff, and they specifically had to guard their spirit because stuff would happen when they would speak. But these guys like that, and they're ready to go there. And he says, you don't know what spirit you're on. He rebukes them. And it's interesting because, again, we can have so much just to know through how we're walking sometimes. And it's interesting because as a Christian, many times to me, it's just like, well, you did this, and this is the truth, and that's fine. Because the truth will set you free. But I'm all worked up in my spirit, and I'm not even paying attention to how I'm walking. And I think I'm going to go have a constructive conversation and walk it in that way. And you know what I mean. You're just going, oh boy, this is going down fast, because it was. Now I want to say this. Your spirit could be right. Does it mean everybody you ever deal with will be right? No. And it doesn't mean when you get a hold of yourself and you walk in love and you walk in mercy and say you have to rebuke somebody, does it mean they'll listen to you because you're in the right heart of it? Your heart is right in the issue? Not always. But it's really critical because Jesus is in us, to us, through us, to others. In fact, part of what I'm even telling you is really important because we are his hands, his feet, his mouth, his eyes. You represent Jesus. Some people go, well, I'm not like that kind of a Christian. I'm like, there's no not being that kind of a Christian. That's why it says, let him who speak do so as the oracles of God. Because the success when even talking about what I'm talking about is Jesus wants to come through you. And he's going to send you to situations where you're going to act, speak, and move into situations. And people need to see the manifest Son of God. Not a combination, you know what I mean, of temper, a combination of anger, unforgiveness. I want to tell you something. Sometimes God is going to give something to your heart to do, and you're going to need to do it. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be fun. And even just talking to you today, you're going to stick this in your spirit. You're going to say, I got to get a grip. I'm really angry. So you're going to start checking your spirit. You're going to say, yeah, I'm all right, Lord, get a hold of this. Because I know right now if I speak this a lot, they're going to get a mix of truth, my anger, bitterness. It's going to be a mix. Father, make my spirit right so I can do this thing that I can speak. And you start guarding yourself more carefully. And you start speaking to others. And you'll be surprised what actually starts to occur. Because you've checked your own spirit. because you said, you know what, I want to make sure my spirit is right as I'm going to do this deed for God. And it's you know what's beautiful about it? The deed will still get done. But the way it will get done will be the way God meant it to get done. Oftentimes, I see Christians and they'll get good at something. And their first response when they get better at something, they'll start knocking people that are still stuck where they were. Now, personally, I call that self-righteousness for a really good reason. Because the first response when God gives you a success after you've had failures is not to point to another. That's ridiculous. I've seen people that wail on people. If they get something down, they messed up in it, the minute they correct it, they're all over others for it. Not even dealing in mercy, not even remembering where they came from. And I call it self-righteous because, number one, it was God who actually freed them. It was God's grace and spirit that enabled them to be different. But start to understand that. In fact, here's the other thing. I've met people that were extremely many years in the Lord and mature, and they had many victories in many areas. And I noticed when talking to them about those areas, there was such a humility. And God had really given them a victory. And they had struggled with it, but they had come over it. It was interesting, though. They weren't haughty. They weren't prideful. And even as they talked about the ways that God could set another free or do a work, there was such a humility. There was the meekness of Christ was in them. You could see it. You think about it, and it's something to deal with, checking our spirits, you know, seeing if we can go forth. Now, again, I've seen people say, well, I don't got the time. And well, you know, sometimes, too, if you're in a time-sensitive issue that you've got to deal with, I want you to think about this. You got to go to the Lord. And I will say this. The more you want to do things in the right spirit, the right emotion, the more you want to be cautious, still getting it done, I believe you do get quicker at adjusting. Because sometimes you got to adjust on the fly. Sometimes you may be right. There's something that God's given me to do. I have to do it today. Maybe there isn't another day. And at that point, the more you're trained, the more you're saying, you know, what's my spirit? Am I self-righteous? Am I angry? Do they just bug me? And I bring it up because they irritate me personally. Because none of that's going to work. Because you're going to come off exactly like that. When you start talking to them, there's not going to be. They're going to pick that all up. And it's important. But I want you to think really hard. I guarantee you, we all have relationships. And some relationships affect you this way. Other relationships affect you this way. You know, there's a mix of it. And I would say this. We need people in our lives that speak with the right spirit, that bring both easy to hear and hard to hear stuff. We need that. And I really believe one of the ways we experience God's presence is through each other. And then we do individually. And this is really critical because, again, so many times people aren't checking their spirits. Ask yourself a question, too. Hey, God sent me to speak to somebody. Am I walking in humility? Am I walking in mercy? And I'm going to have to say something. In fact, I would even say this, the heart of the statement, sometimes the greater the mercy has to be upon him. And then that other thing, am I just critical and they aggravate me? And I just want to point out their fault. But again, so many things get trashed because people just don't check their spirit. You know, James 1:19, what's it say? This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I don't know about you guys. Talk about checking my spirit. This is one of this verse has always knocked me out through the years. And when I was younger, I would rationalize it because remember, you're a Christian, so you're not angry, you're just righteously indignant. And I remember using that word a lot, but sometimes I was just angry. It wasn't righteously indignant. I was ticked. And you know what's interesting? I made a rule, guys, and again, sometimes people go, I don't really need to hear this, but it's interesting because if you're going to do something and you're walking in your anger, you know darn well, you go, you know what, if I proceed, no righteousness will be the result. I'm angry. My anger. Let's clarify. And I've had things where I'm angry and I've actually just had to cancel. I can't. I'm angry. I can't get this done. This situation requires God's righteousness. And what I'm walking in right now, I've blown it in plenty enough to go, nothing good will come of this. But it's funny, when you're younger, your pride, your religious rationalization, you can scoot around all these verses. You figure out how to I call it God eyes, or to get your vernacular somehow, you make it sound right. But it's interesting because, again, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And as I got older, I had times where I was just frosted. And yet I knew if I lashed out and spoke, and even if I was to speak truth, because I did it enough times, we were going to have a disaster on our hands. I want you to think about something today, too. If you checked your spirit, even with this simple principle, and you said, I'm angry, nothing good's going to come of it, I better get a grip. And you just get a grip. I'm angry, stuff's going to come out of my mouth that I'm going to regret. The hearer is going to pick up my anger, so they're not going to be better off when I'm done talking. I'm going to regret probably a ton of things I say. None of that is going to work for the righteousness of God. In fact, I know plenty of Christians who the only way they can speak truth is to get angry, and it's not good. I've seen people where they to them, if there's a conflict and truth needs to be spoken, they got to work themselves up to say it. But that part of that problem comes because many times the way we're raised, we were corrected in anger. We were told things that we did wrong because it angered people. And it's funny, you become a Christian and trying to separate the two, that I can be horribly critical of you if God calls me to be, or you of me, but we can do so in the spirit of love, and we don't have to work ourselves up to say things that aren't fun to hear. And yet I've known people that it's wrecked their lives. They're quiet until a point of completely blowing up, and that's how they were dealt with, so that's how they deal with their issues. And it creates a lot of problems. But most importantly, I need the righteousness of God. Our mom, we need the righteousness of God. We need to speak in a controlled spirit, and we need to understand it. I'm almost done here. Think about this, the task God's going to ask you. And it was really interesting because Matt was, we were praying, and he's got some things he feels, you know, he's got different family issues. And that is one of the trickiest parts, is it not? You get saved, your whole family doesn't get saved with you. Now, I'm blessed. I have a Christian wife. I mean, I was blessed with a godly woman. But also, when I came to the Lord, my family didn't get saved. My mom said, oh, my God, my son's joined a cult. And there was always a dynamic of familiarity with my family members to where I could easily get worked up telling the truth. I could fight. I could contend. In fact, sometimes it was like getting in a time capsule. Grow for years. Step in with your brother, and you're fighting like you're 18 years old again. Going, what the heck? This is really important, guys. I want you to think about that. And that's even when we say slow to speak, because, again, there's these checks and balances. And I say this, too, because God wants to use you. And sometimes he wants you to say things that are not popular. And proclaim things that are not popular. You know, when I read about Stephen's martyrdom, you know, they hit him and they stone him. And he says, I see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father. Not a good combination, but he was to speak truth. They stoned him. They killed him. And yet he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. I might have said, Father, fry them before I die, please. Let me just see it. I can come to be with you, but would you burn them to dark crisp here? I'll feel better as I'm going to see you, as I see your fire absolutely demolecularizing them like an atom bomb, you know, melting their bones while they stand. But it's interesting, because what you don't realize is Stephen, his spirit he was transformed. He was a believer, and even as he's being martyred, what comes out of his spirit? Father, forgive them. They know what they do. In fact, he goes down in history as the one other guy recorded in Scripture besides the Messiah, Jesus, who actually said that. Now, here's one more thought, too, and I forgive me if I'm belaboring it, because I just think it's so crucial, because everything's interpersonal. We deal with others. They deal with us. We love it. We're all a family. We meet other family from other churches. It is an amazing thing. You know what bothers me the most, too, is the church, many times, we're very impersonal. I think we're communicating more and saying very little. Never have words been so abundant in the world, but never has there been more shallow things spoken so quickly, because it doesn't take much to type an emoji. It doesn't take a lot of effort to type in 3 words in a text, or 40 words. That's how it works. but it's important for your life. And, you know, and I would say this too. I have talked calmly to people that they, what was being said was not popular, but God had moved it. It was a spirit of meekness. And I've even said, you know, oh, I wish you would yell at me or something, because that's how they were used to being corrected. But it was powerful as you were speaking truth and love. And they were used to being yelled at. They were used to anger being the main motivation is when they speak. In fact, this is the biggest problem. And I grew up a lot like this, to where people only spoke hard truth when you ticked them off enough to really reveal how they felt. Gosh, that's going to make a lot of situations better. It didn't. It just leads to insults, more fighting, more bitterness. But as Christians, we are called to be better than this. And you know what's interesting? Because when I first became a believer, there were members in my family that razzed me every day. I mean, seriously, every day. And my one brother said to me, 12 months later, he said, I got to talk to you. You got a minute? And I'm just thinking, what now? Because every time he did that, you know, he'd be like, look, I saw Jesus. You know, it was just a mock here and a mock here. And you know what I'm saying? And a mock here. But he came to me and he said, Mikey, which don't go there, but he's my brother. He said, Mikey, I got to tell you something. You were such a crazy kid. I mean, you attacked me with baseball bat when you were 9. I mean, it's just you were mad at a gift I got for Christmas that you'd get what you wanted. And I was a wild man. Thank God that was one of those little bats. Like, you guys ever see those? They're like this long and they're really thin, because I was really mad. And he said, you know, I've been giving you hell for a year. And much to my amazement, and I don't even understand it, you've responded in peace. You'd jump on me. He said, Mike, I thought for sure, man, I was going to get your goat and get you swinging, just, you know, for fun, just like old times. And I thought, you know, here I am, 16 years old, kid, not one of much control. And here's this new nature of God checking my spirit. I could say a lot of things back to him. Not responding in life. Responding with the spirit of God. Responding in the spirit of meekness. And it really blew his mind. He told me that's deeply affected me. He said, that has deeply affected me. Just to watch what you've become. He said, it's really weird, but it's very real. Think about that for a minute. That powerful ability. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms. Some of you guys, that might be your favorite psalm. Verses 23 is a psalm that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. It's interesting that the psalmist says, hey, God, search my heart. And see if there's a hurtful way in there. Meaning, you know, hurt people hurt people. Father, look at my heart. I need to speak forth, and I need you to weigh this, God. And I want to speak into others. And I want, because, you know, I brought up that, like, Calvinist disaster from YouTube. But listen, my wife turns me on to good YouTube all the time. She gives me awesome testimonies. I mean, one time I was literally in the basement praying, and I got a text from my wife. You know, the phone went ding. And the very thing I was asking God, she sent me a YouTube video of a testimony to the very subject, to the very point on the video that I had just been in the basement praying about. So there's some, let me tell you something, YouTube's not bad. I mean, it can be used for great things. And I want to tell you that, because, you know, we could go, oh, darn all that stuff, and darn that, you know, all that communication. But listen, the reality is, I watched my wife use it for glory. She's used it for good. She showed me stuff that blessed my soul. She just sent me a testimony of a Muslim guy from the Middle East. I don't know if it was Pakistan. Incredible testimony. And what was weird about that, I had been praying earlier in that day, and some of the very things I had asked God, this guy's talking about. So I want you to think of this as well. If we can get ourselves out of the way, you get where I'm coming from, guys? If we can get ourselves out of the way, if we can pay a mind, and we can say, God, I want to speak with power, you know? And then there's one fact to remember something. You know, the words of a whisper are like dainty morsels, but who says those words have to be bad? Your words go into people, and they affect people. Who says that that when I speak into another's heart, it doesn't have to be bad? It doesn't have to be divisive? It doesn't have to be rebellion? It can be for the glory of God. But I want you to think about something. they did a study and they found that negative information, it taints. If they put negative information in front of good information, they found that the respondent's brain didn't respond right to the positive information after the negative. Because when you started with the bad information, the brain did something. But when the positive information was put in front, they were able to cope with the negative information. Now, get a little more biblical with this. There was a man named Korah in Moses' time. And Korah, you know, Moses got rebellion, right? You remember. And the rebellion was always the same. Who made you a boss or a king? We're all holy. We're all special. And really, Moses never said they weren't, but Moses was God's appointed leader. I want to add this. It says in the Bible, Moses, he was more humble than any man on the earth. I'm not winning that contest, trust me on this. But that said, Korah raises up 250 people, and they come against Moses, because misery loves company, right? It loves company. You don't like somebody, you want somebody else to not like them with you, and that person wants them to tell another person. But here's the weird thing. Korah starts this rebellion, right? And I'm reading about this, and this rebellion rises up. 250 people approach Moses, and they stand him off. By the time they all come out with their censers and say, hey, let God decide, the earth swallows up Korah and his family. That had been a pretty effective way to stop division. But I read the number, and when it's all done, those slain were 14,700 people. Man. You kind of do that in your mind. I want you to think about this. Korah's one guy. Saying, who does he think he is? Blah, 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 blah. 14,700 died. Because 14,700 were absolutely corrupted by Korah. Man, you can't do that with Snapchat. You can't do that with Facebook. I'm dead serious. Because the very power of the Spirit, you look at it and you realize that people speak into people and affect them for good, for bad, for God, for glory, demonically. There's all kinds of things. One time I had a person come to me with a contention. There was somebody they didn't like. And I started listening years ago. And I thought, you should be talking to that person, because talking to me won't solve your problem. I guarantee it. In fact, I guarantee you talking to me will do nothing. You're talking to another person, and maybe you could even possibly stir me up. And the Lord, I was in my scripture reading, and I was in Proverbs. And I'll never forget, I kind of got excited, you know. My heart rate went up when they talked to me, and I got all this aggravation come over me. Which is really interesting, because I wasn't having a bad day. And I wasn't aggravated at them. I was aggravated at the person they were talking about. And then I open my Bible and it says, like one who takes a dog by the ears is one who meddles with strife not belonging to him. And I thought, and here's why I could relate to it immediately. I realized I was getting affected. I wasn't having my own judgment. I was having somebody else's. And I realized that they were offended, they were angry, they were bitter. I was picking up their bitterness. I realized that I was getting into a contention, and even hearing it was affecting me. And I've read that scripture. And let me tell you why I can relate to the scripture. When I was a little boy, we had a black dog, probably the size of a pit bull. Wasn't a pit bull. I don't know what it was. And my parents got the dog spayed. Well, I was 7. And this is the 60s, so if you spayed your dog, I don't know, you guys get your dogs fixed, you can tell your kids, you know, the dog got fixed, unless they go, Mommy, what's that mean? You know, it's like, oh, geez, well, it means they won't make babies. Well, I made a mistake. I got down. I wanted to see the stitches. And I was actually home. My mom had stepped out of the house. They went to the corner store. Literally walked down the sidewalk, and I was home. And I leaned down to look at the stitches on her abdomen. Well, I don't know if you know this, getting face level with the dog. And our dog actually had been ordered muzzled by Chicago Heights, what do they call it? The Animal Society? She used to go out and have fun biting people. And finally, the city of Chicago Heights said, you know what? By order, we're going to put her down. If she gets out again, she better have a muzzle. If she doesn't, we will order her to be put down. So her name was Smokey. So I leaned down to look at the stitches, and I don't know what it was with Smokey, but when I got right down there and looked, she turned and she grabbed my face, and she began to maul it. I had over 67 incisions across my face. I still got some scars right here. It's under my beard where she mauled my face. It looked like somebody had taken a board with nails and whacked me on both cheeks again and again and again and again and again and again. and ended up in the hospital. So when I read that verse about, like, one who takes a dog by the ears, gets face level, and meddles with it, is like one that meddles with strife, and it just all came back. I thought, I can actually relate of what it means to take a dog by the ears. And the result was a bloody mess. My parents came in, they were, there was blood all over the floor. My face, it was scary. I don't mean just how I was born looking, but I mean with the holes, it was scary. Don't make no jokes, guys. But I thought about that, and I thought, you know, she mauled me so fast, guys, that during the mauling, I mean, it was like a blackout. She bit so fast so many times, and she just kept tearing my face up. And it was hard, you know. You're stunned. You get what I'm saying, guys? You're stunned. Because I didn't even know a dog could put that many holes in the face, because there were so many holes. Holes. I don't mean red marks. I mean, she bit through, broke the skin on so many bites. But just to say that in closing, to give you a really nasty word picture, because sometimes we grab something and we go, oh, my gosh. One more thing as we pray. Sometimes can we be the sap? Now I want you to think about this. Can we speak words of the word of God, the word of peace? Can we speak mercy into people? Because here's the other thing. Sometimes when people are worked up, we need to help them get off the train. I don't mean you need to listen to everything, but it's important sometimes, because sometimes people are hurting themselves and they need us to get them off the train. They got to be there, you know, they're running down on the train, it's going to blow up the tracks, and we got to aid them. I want you to think of this in the world we live, the spirit that you walk in, the spirit others walk in. We pick up so much from people and we don't even realize it. Let's all pray, guys. I highly advise married people, if possible. It's really good to discuss the matter before it gets caustic and nuclear in its size. Otherwise, you get a lot of blow-ups. And I think God has better for us always than that. Father, I think about the veiny morsels that have went into my ears, but I also think about the veiny morsels I've put in other people's ears. Lord, in my lifetime, my mouth has been used for glory, but it's also been used for stuff less than. And I pray today, Lord, you know, the spirit we're walking in. Lord, sometimes we are so negative, even in ourselves. Our self-talk is bad. We tell ourselves the hopelessness. We speak words of bitterness to ourselves. We think it. We hash it around. We work ourselves up many times into states of spirit that are not only not healthy, they're not you. Lord, like Paul said, I want to know the authority of the words of those people speaking, not just the words themselves. He wanted to know what spirit they were coming from. Help us to be discerning in this era. And Lord, I say this, I've seen so many cool videos that my wife's turned me on to that I have enjoyed, and friends here have turned me on to. I've seen a lot of amazing stuff, and there is a way to use it for the glory, but there's also a way to be careful about it. But I pray today, God, touch us. And Lord, one more thing is, we're going into many situations, and I was so appreciative of Matt today and the stuff he prayed for, because he's looking at himself, he's weighing it, he knows what he needs to do, but he's careful. He doesn't want to get into a scene. He wants to be able to speak. And Lord, for all of our families, because I don't think my case is odd. I got saved, but not everybody got saved. And I got along, but not everybody got along. It didn't always work. And many times, Lord, even early on as a Christian, I saw the behaviors come up. Many times as a believer, I saw stuff just, you know, with my family, it would spiral into an argument. I'd end up debating Christianity, something I never wanted to do, and it never helped me. It never helped people come to know you. So help us to gauge that, the way we're walking, what spirit we're walking, and help us to deal with each other, always, always with a humility, always with the meekness of Christ, always with the truth. And Lord, let us choose to say, hey, I want to be moved by the Spirit of God. That's another way we guard ourselves. Lord, show us. We're not used to that. A lot of us grew up in places where negative things were said, or even corrective things when people were mad. But Lord, there's a way to do that sometimes. We don't have to be all frosted. We don't have to be all fired up. Touch us today, God. Help us today. And I pray one more thing. If we've ever been affected, sometimes, you know, it's interesting. People influence people. It's always been that way. It even says bad morals corrupts good company. But Lord, I believe we can be a positive, influence on people. But help us, God. Many times we're taken by surprise. We don't even know what we're looking at, and we're not sure of how it's working. But I pray today, God, that we would speak in power and in love. We would speak in the soundness and in truth. Lord, this era needs people. Is that testimony my wife gave me, that in his church there, I don't know if they're in Egypt, it's like, he says, if you're not ready to die, don't start attending here, because that could be your outcome. So they don't even mess around, and yet he talked about the love of Jesus, whom he found. He can't stop talking about the love of Jesus and how that affects him, and it makes him want to tell somebody. That's an awesome blessings as we go today. Touch us, God, today. And grow us, grow us, grow us. We want to walk in a spirit of excellence. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen, everybody. God bless you all. Thank you for coming out today. Appreciate it, appreciate it. Hey, did anybody see that?